Turning tonight to Psalm 133, which we've already thought about some today, but we're going to give it attention tonight, and may the Lord bless and encourage us as we consider it together. Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the many assurances and encourages we've received tonight in singing so much of your word together. We thank you for the way it resonates in our hearts and lifts us to you and binds us one to another. We bless you and thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the morning opportunity to gather and this evening sacrifice of praise. Oh Lord, bless us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Speak to us from your word. Oh Lord, come to us tonight. Open our hearts to you. Help us, we pray. We are thankful and we consider it an honor to draw near to you. Bless us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I think it was a good preparation for me to be with Cindy and Michael at Ligonier Conference week. And something connected with that conference for me really helped me to understand this text, I think. My personal goal, besides enjoying and sitting for the services, and my personal goal was to pray with as many people as I could. To come to a stranger and speak to them in such a way as to bring us to prayer. Now, that was just a personal goal that I had in going. But, you know, the Lord wonderfully blessed it. And the way he blessed it is the thing that makes me think about this text. The way in which I opened the conversation was asking them, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus? And their face brightened. And they were glad to tell me. Here's 4,500 people that are gathering together to learn more of God. People whose hearts desire to know Jesus, gathered in this one place together. And when one asks them, how did you come to know Jesus? There's a brightening. And they're glad to let you know. And more I was convinced, whoever I could talk to, they had a story to tell. And the story was about Jesus. And there's something that encouraged their hearts to tell me about Jesus. Now, I didn't wait or try to get into real conversations that would involve my speaking. But if they did get in the conversation, sometimes it was more than a couple of minutes, they did ask. And it's a joy to say how Jesus saved me, how he worked in me, what way he had to speak to me in order to bring me to himself. And everybody has a story. Every Christian. All of them, from the least to the greatest, have come to know Jesus. That's what the new covenant is. Everyone, from the least to the greatest, knows him. Doesn't have to be told to know the Lord. They know the Lord. And you know, to talk about what God has done in your life is a wonderful encouragement. And it's so knit us together. There are people from all over. Amazing the number of places. I mean, from Alaska and Texas and Missouri and other countries as well. I would just interrupt them. I was talking to one fellow who didn't want to be talked to. He was sitting and he was pretending to sleep. He was just keeping his eyes closed. I mean, he obviously did not come thinking he was going to talk to people, but I talked to him anyway. And he told me about the nasty divorce that he was involved in And his lawyer urged him to come to church. And he came to church, and in the course of time, God saved him. Jesus worked in his heart. It's just a broken situation that God brought. And him to talk about. He wasn't going to talk to anybody, but I talked to him. And it just convinced me again. You know, that's the unity that is spoken of here. When it says, dwell together in unity, that's what it means. It's not just talking about it being nice when people in church don't fight with each other. Now, some people have faced terrible struggles within churches, and I think Pastor mentioned something about a business meetings or something and not having terrible times there, but only some of you can remember from way back, terrible business meetings, because people can be very mean to each other. And people who call themselves Christians can be mean to each other. And it's such a blessing when they don't, when they aren't. That's not what it's talking about. Unity is Christ. Our unity is in Christ. Whoever I talked to and wherever I talked, they came from. The thing that knit our hearts together and enabled us to talk was Jesus. It's their experience of Jesus that gives the unity to a people. And here's 4,000, I didn't talk to 4,500 people, I tried. But I didn't get to 4,500 people, but you know, it was wonderful when one could, in a few words, get to the subject of Jesus and find that I could, and this is partly personality, but I could quite easily say, could we pray together? And be able to pray with them and thank the Lord for what he had done in their lives and our lives and pray that the blessing would come upon the service that we were going to have. And it made it such fun for me, but so enriching. Such a blessing to see people from all different areas and see that they're people that Jesus has touched and brought to himself. And they have a current story about Jesus. Something brought them to that conference. And so there's a working in Jesus right now in their lives that they love to speak about. And it knit our hearts together. It's amazing the people that I felt knitted to just because of Jesus. Well, that's the unity that's talked about here. It isn't just getting along with each other. This is not the blessing that the Holy Spirit moved David to speak well of, that, or to yearn for, that people don't fight with each other. No. The unity is when we can get to Jesus and know what he's doing in our lives and share what Christ is to us. That's the place where we're blessed and encouraged. And that's the reason that we're blessed when we gather. It's a shared response to Jesus, a shared experience in Jesus. That's why we so appreciate the gathering and the singing and the fellowship here, because there's a shared experience in Jesus. And that's unity, because Jesus has united us. And it's not a unity that we're hoping someday to achieve. I've heard the talk too about people that say that we need to work toward being unified as a church for the glory of Christ. We are unified. The people of God are unified with every other person who knows God. Because it's already accomplished. Jesus has made us one. And he prays for us as one. And so we are one. And it's wonderful when that comes out in our interchange with one another. When we gather. Wonderful to experience unity. Unity is in Christ as that comes out. Now, we can have a lot of other things that will make us talk to each other and enjoy each other. But the thing that nurtures us is we're Christians and we're sharing Jesus. And it's wonderful when we're able to share something that Jesus gave me today, something that Jesus showed me, something that Jesus brought to my heart from his word. That's the thing that so really blesses and unites the people of God. They're united in Jesus. It's not a union that you're achieving. You're not working toward getting it. You're experiencing it because God has put it there already. You already love those who love Jesus. It's already there. And of course, you've had the experience of hearing some stranger mention Jesus, and you feel your heart going out to that stranger, and you try to get toward where they're talking, just to see what they're talking about, because you heard the name of Jesus by somebody who loved him. And you love that person too. It just is. It isn't something, you have to start doing this. You don't do it. You just enjoy the reality of it. Jesus has already created that unity. It is already in his church. He doesn't need to bring about denominational unification to have the unity that he desires. No, that unity is there. He rejoiced in the unity. Thank God for the people that were brought to him, the ones he prayed for. That unity is already there. From the foundation of the earth, that unity has been there. And it's wonderful to enjoy it together. Well, David speaks of it. He says how good and how pleasant it is. Not everything good is pleasant. And not everything pleasant is good. But that fellowship that Christians have together is good and it's pleasant. It greatly encourages your soul and strengthens you, and it is a delight. And David can say how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And David was talking about the same thing we're talking about. David was 1,000 years before Jesus. But God has always had a people that called upon his name. There have always been those whose hearts have longed for God. The book of Job is written 2,000 years before Christ. The book of Job is written by somebody who had no connection with the Bible at all. Job was an amazing person. But he knew the reality of a relationship with God. And when Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, your heart runs out. Because he's a brother in Christ from 2,000 years before Christ. And he's united to everyone. Everyone that has come to know Christ is already one. Jesus made us one. And it's wonderful to see them here and there in the Old Testament. We don't see them everywhere because there was a working out of the difference between the national identity and the identity in Christ. Not all of Israel were true Israel. But there always was a people. Always with the people that when the prophet preached against the sins of the people, they said in their heart, preach it, brother, and long for it to be preached. There always have been those that had that within them. The wonderful thing is that since Pentecost, since the launching of what we call the church, from the least to the greatest, you don't have to tell them know the Lord. They know the Lord. And that's the wonderful reality that we experience when we gather together. We are with one another. Those who gather together are united. Jesus has united us. And the wonderful blessing is to have opportunity to share that together. It's wonderfully encouraging. Well, we look at, that's what David is talking about, the unity. That's what he meant by the unity in love for Jehovah God. A heart that loves God. That's the unity. Our unity is a heart that loves God. And that's what he's talking about. So that's what's good and pleasant. It's good for a heart to have a heart that loves God. It's good. It's pleasant to have a heart that loves God and shares with others that feel likewise. It's why you're so encouraged sometimes when you gather at church. Because you see that. Well, David is speaking about it, and David uses, that's the basic thrust of the first verse we're looking at. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. He says, behold. Sometimes the translations say, how good and how pleasant. They put another how there to let you realize this is what we're talking about, and this is good when brothers dwell together in unity. Behold that. Then he talks about, he has two images that he's given us. In verse 2, he's got the one of the precious oil poured on the head of the high priest. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. there's something a little bit funny about tracking this down with different commentators. I think, especially modern ones, they don't like that picture. The idea of the oil on the head, and then realizing the whole garb of the high priest, it's all this beauty, and this grease just flowing down it, they don't like it. In fact, they can't stand it. And the translators even can't do it. They've got to say the collar. They can't say the all the way down. Now, other commentators that weren't so fastidious and didn't think about dry cleaning bills or anything like that, others thought of it as being poured on the head all the way to the hem of the garment as a picture of the oil of gladness poured upon the head of our Lord Jesus that comes all the way down to me. I'm at the bottom, but it comes all the way down to me, this glorious anointing. And the wonderful thing about the anointing was not the look of it. It wasn't, the worry wasn't the look. It was the smell of it. It was the fragrance that filled the room. Like the fragrance the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil of pure nard, told us that it's very expensive. Judas thought it was a waste. It wasn't a waste. Jesus didn't think it was a waste. But it filled the world, filled the room with an aura of holiness, an aura that just captured you. And there are times in that with the people of God when it seems the whole room is filled with an aura of Jesus. That's an experience that people really do have. Christ is present. And the smell is something that makes it alive and beautiful. As it were surrounding us. It's a way in which God manifests himself. And an image that came to mind, maybe a little like this, is a woman who may come to church dressed nicely and with her makeup all right and looking good, coming to church for whatever reason, but hearing the word of God and being affected by it, heart touched by it, broken by it, melting in tears because of what she's heard and believed and trusted, and it wrecks her makeup. And it's beautiful. It's awful. It's beautiful. And when the oil comes and it's a waste and it messes everything up, but it's beautiful. The wonderful anointing of God that unites his people in the experience of his wonder. Well, it's a picture. It's an image. We don't really have to worry about the oil and the garment. It's only a poem. We don't have to actually deal with it, and we don't have the dry cleaning expenses. It's a picture. But it's a picture of our high priest being anointed and the oil of joy poured upon him comes down even to me at the very hem of the garment. Reaches even me. Well, that's a thing that's touched people's hearts often. A number of the commentators, they feel that. They get that. And they don't have to say it's the collar. I mean, some people do argue about the collar. They even mention the fact that the garment that the high priest had a thing that kept him from ripping it because he's not supposed to do that. And so we're sure it caught it there and didn't go all the way to the bottom. But I really appreciate the old authors who didn't worry about that and who recognized the beautiful picture of the oil of the anointing upon our high priest that comes down upon his whole people, all his people, his whole body, coming down upon him all the way to the bottom where I am. Well, that's been the thing that has blessed many, and you and I, probably most of us, are down around there. I think I met some people that were pretty important. Some people that had written this or that and done some good things, and I was glad to hear about that. But the really wonderful thing was, the ones I talked to knew Jesus. And knowing how they came to know Jesus and talk about him was wonderful. Knit us together. I know they were much higher than I was. And it was quite an expensive conference, so I'm sure they had much more money than I had. But felt a wonderful uniting with them. A wonderful sharing in the aura of Christ and the reality of Jesus. And there was a unity in him, and it blessed the atmosphere of our conversation. And insofar as I could feel it going on in the larger group, where people touched by Christ, loving him, and together sharing that, well, it was like the oil anointed on our high priest coming down even to us and blessing us. And that may be what David was speaking of. He's certainly speaking of a presence of Christ that permeates. Now, Paul speaks about that. There's a place that Paul speaks about the fragrance. I'd listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, no, 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? There, the knowledge of God is like a fragrance. And it connects at least in some way with the passage. I don't know whether that's in, maybe that was in Paul's mind. The wonder of the fragrance of Christ. Maybe he was thinking of the high priest and the anointing and rejoicing in the fragrance of Christ declared, rising to God, to praise him. And death, a fragrance of death to those that hated God, but a fragrance of life to those that know him. You've known the message of Christ, the person of Christ, as a fragrance of life. Well, that those things may be connected with what David is saying. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robe, the hem of his robe, running down. Well, there's another image given. That itself is a beautiful image. There's another mention of people coming into the assembly and leaving with the sense God is with them of a truth. Why do they feel that? Because they sense there's something here. Like an incense, it's here. It's a beautiful picture. And it seems to be what's in David's mind and what we can enter into. And we do enter into because we're one with these dear ones. Love the fragrance of Christ. May God enable our fellowship together to generate the fragrance of Christ. When we're challenged to be united and to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that's a unity in Christ. And we can have a flowing forth of it. As we enjoy together the wonder of that person, we share it with one another, there's a kind of sense in which there's an atmosphere of Christ created. That's what we so enjoy about worship. There's an atmosphere of Christ. Like an ointment poured out. Beauty. And it thrills our heart. And it does because we're one. And we're rejoicing in him. Well, we get to the other image that's given. It's in verse 3. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Well, the special image, though, the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Hermon's a tall mountain, which often has snow. It's always cold up there because it's high. But it often has snow. And in the cool of the evening, when the sun stops beating down on everything, in the vicinity, and really apparently for quite a distance from Hermon, there's a kind of settling of a cool air, cool, moist air. Apparently from the snow, the cool, moist air settles down into the valley, and not only brings a refreshment, but brings a enlivening, a quiet enlivening of the plants. They're getting, it's like a rain in the sense that it doesn't come beating down, but it permeates the area and waters the plants in a most refreshing and wonderful way. And I wonder if that's just another picture of what we experience when our relationship with Christ and our sharing of Him brings a quietness to our souls. That's one. The hymn that I remember is not in our book, but I did copy out the words of the hymn, which you, many of you, would know the hymn. Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance to my soul. On the stormy sea he speaks peace to me. How the billows cease to roll, bringing life and health and gladness all around the heavenly guest. Banished unbelief and sadness, changed our weariness to rest. Like the rain that falls from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Ghost is given, coming on us from on high. See, a fruitful field is growing, blessed fruit of righteousness, and the streams of life are flowing in the lonely wilderness. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see His face. What perfect habitation, what a quiet resting place. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance to my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me. How the billows cease to roll. Can we be that influence on others as we dwell together in unity? Can we see the troubled soul and speak peace? And point them to Jesus' peace. And reassure them quietly. Help them to rest their souls. Do we have people that are stirred up in their turmoil? Are they Christians? Can God help us quiet the soul of that dear one? Help them to remember the goodness and the kindness and the faithfulness of Jesus. Help them to remember the presence of Jesus and the fact that He's with you in this time of difficulty and struggle. And He will be with you and will help you. And He's got a purpose in it. Can we be the ones that will speak quietness to the soul of a person that's troubled? Are there those that need to be reassured of the wonder and the glory of Christ, the oil poured out? Are there those that need to be reassured of the peace of Christ and strengthened, like the dew of Hermon resting upon the parched land? Can we be like that to each other? Is there a way that our conversations can do that? Well, they'll do that kind of thing when we speak of Christ. Now, it's not that we have to repeat particular words, but when our hearts desire to share Christ with one another, we've known something of the help of God, and our heart desires to help that dear one, that friend, others, to encourage them in the time of their distress. Can we be like the dew of Hermon that settles on the parched land and brings refreshment and blessing? Or can we help to enter into the joy of aura of Christ poured out, the atmosphere of Christ encouraging and lifting us? Are there different ways in which our sharing of the unity of Christ can have that effect on one? Blesses them, reminds them of Jesus, or that quiets them and gives them peace? Those are two ways in which the coming of the Spirit upon His people can have those effects upon people, and it may be that it can have those effects in one congregation, people meeting with their different needs. The Word of God coming forth and the encouragement of other believers can manifest Christ in a way that's real, or can quiet the soul with the peace and refreshment of Christ. And it can all happen under the preaching of God's Word, in the context of God's church, with people reaching out to one another in unity. It isn't just not fighting with each other. That wasn't in David's mind at all. It was being one and encouraging each other and uniting and rejoicing and being one. And that's what God longs for us to have. And when it's a matter of maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, not just keeping your mouth shut so you don't say a nasty thing. I mean, that's good not to say anything nasty. But the keeping, maintaining of the unity of the Spirit is seeking to point one another to Jesus, to share what Jesus means to us, to draw from them to share what Jesus means to them, to see how Jesus has come into different circumstances and blesses in a way of manifesting himself or in a way of quiet, blessed quietness. Jesus can come in those ways. And David knew those things. David experienced those things. David knew what it was to worship and be caught up with the beauty of who Christ is that made him forget himself and lose his own dignity if necessary, maybe as much as the high priest losing his dignity. David lost his dignity as he danced before the Lord. He didn't worry about his dignity. It was the Lord, and he wanted to praise him. And David knew the peace. In the midst of turmoil, the peace that God gives. God is our refuge and strength. Very present help in trouble. Well, these things may be the things that moved David to speak. I think they were. I think it was like that. I think. Maybe there's something else that God has for you there. Certainly, commentators have come at it from different ways. But I'm convinced that that's the kind of thing that David had in mind. As he said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I'm sorry, I've turned the page wrong. He said, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, and the blessing is life forevermore. That's the blessing we're sharing. We're unified in life forevermore. What we're sharing when we share Christ, life forevermore. Wonderful thing. May God enable us to look to the gathering of his people as an opportunity to share life forevermore. And may God do that in such a way that we become a people full of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that kind of way. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we all of us here that have come to know and love Jesus have known something of the aura of Christ. It's beautiful. The Spirit poured out in a way that fills our life with the wonder of Jesus. Thank you for this. Thank you for David's picture of it. And we've known the peace, the settled quietness of soul, the blessed quietness. We've known that too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the refreshing quietness that comes from knowing Jesus. Bless us in these things, and may we be instruments of encouraging these things in others, having opportunities to share Christ with one another. Help us, Lord, we pray. Work in our midst, we pray. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.